His birth, His life, His miracles, His teaching, His cleansing, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His advocacy, His return to rule and reign. His name is wonderful. Lord, if you have your Bible this morning, we're in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and we talked about it in the worship team, and you have it, usually what happens is you have Christmas, and it's like a switch is shut off, and you moved, it's over. We put it behind us, and that seems too fast. So I felt like there should be one more message on the story of Christ's birth and the things that we can learn. So the title of the message this morning is Jesus, I Come, taken from the song with that lyric, and Matthew chapter 1. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus, for the fact that it is in that name, and there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. For those of us that have accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for the joy that you have given us and for the load you have taken off of us. And we wish it for everyone. If there are those here this morning that have not trusted you, I pray today would be the day they would do so. Bless our time in your word, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've had a series of messages this past few weeks on the story of our Savior. I don't like to use the word story because it may lead some to believe it's fictitious. A better word would be on the account of our Savior. First message was when the fullness of time had come, taken from Galatians 4:4. The second message was thy kingdom come, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We can experience kingdom living right now if we allow Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our hearts. The third message was joy to the world, the Lord has come. And C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. I love that. And our last week we were, oh come, let us adore him in Luke chapter 2. Today is Jesus, I come. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The definition, or one of the definitions of reflection, is a review of the mind of past events. I think that's what Mary was doing when the Bible records that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think she was reflecting or trying to process all the things that were going on that she was witnessing in the life of her child, Jesus. If you've had the unfortunate experience of working with me, you may have heard me say, after a disaster, once in a while... I could tell story after story after story of things that, of course, not about me because I've never done anything wrong, but employees that I've had that have done crazy things. And And I just, as I think about him, it is so funny. And then, but at the time, it's not funny. And then, so a statement I will say when it's when the catastrophe has happened, we're standing there trying to figure out how we clean up the mess. I will say, so what have we learned? So what have we learned? And as we reflect on the story of Jesus Christ, the account of his life, and we've just experienced the celebration of December 25th in our Christmas time, exchanging of gifts, all that takes place, I asked the question this morning, so what have we learned? And I'd like to highlight just three things very quickly. The story of Christ is a story that has to be reflected on. The shepherds would have reflected on their experience on the whole account of what they had heard and seen. They would have talked about it for the rest of their lives. And it's beyond the pale of anything that you and I have ever experienced. We've never seen a host of angels in the sky announcing something and praising God and all of the things that they personally witnessed and going down to the manger and all of the account of the story that you're familiar with. Number one, his name is wonderful. Say that with me. His name is wonderful. In verse 21, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. So we could read, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jehovah saves, for he shall save his people from their sins. When you are saying the name Jesus, you are recognizing that God alone is the one that saves. Jehovah saves. The name of Christ are many throughout the Bible. Jesus, Emmanuel, Messiah, King of Righteousness, Prince of Peace, Son of God, Cornerstone, Lion of Judah, Morning Star, Redeemer, Lamb of God, Counselor, God, Lord, Word, Advocate, Shepherd, Master, Servant, Holy One, Rabbi, Carpenter. That's quite a list. Those are all accurate. So let's just step back for a second. Stan Griffin. Ta-da. How many names would you think of for me? Honestly, it would be a stretch to think of more than a handful. And some of them would not be uplifting. The name of Jesus, his name is wonderful. He is beyond description. Look at all the names that have been chosen over the centuries to try to describe him. Well, how do you describe God himself? You can't, but we've tried. His name is wonderful. We sing, his name is wonderful, his name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, he is the mighty King, the master of everything. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him. Love and adore him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. I'm going to list some of the things that he has done. And when I say what he's done, I'm going to point to you and you say wonderful. Okay? So let's just, this gives me a little audience participation this morning. So let's just try it. When I point, you say wonderful. And that was 50% of you. So I'm going to give you one more chance. Here we go. Wonderful. All right, excellent. And here we go. His birth. Wonderful. His life. Wonderful. His miracles. Wonderful. His teaching. Wonderful. His cleansing. Wonderful. His death. Wonderful. His resurrection. Wonderful. His ascension. Wonderful. His advocacy. Wonderful. His return to rule and reign. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Amen? It's awesome. So, as we reflect on the story of Christ, we know that his name is wonderful. Number two, let's reflect on the miracle manger or the manger miracle, the virgin birth. No earthly father at conception. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, it will be of the Holy Ghost. Picture of the Trinity right there. Much could be said about the incredible facts, but consider this. Location, location, location. You talk about real estate, and that's supposed to be the key to the value of something. If you want something to succeed, then location's important. I'd like to say that the Cornerstone Baptist Church has broken that rule, but location is important. The shepherds came to a manger. If Jesus had been born in the inn, the shepherds would not have been able to visit. They were not on the invitation to the shower list, if you will. Shepherds would not have been able to enter in. For all the struggle and rejection it seemed that Mary and Joseph had to go through, the fact that there was no room for the inn was not an accident. It was God's plan. Romans 8:28 is a great verse for us to keep in mind as we travel throughout our Christian life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So we know, and we preach this verse, we believe this, but there's a contingent there. We know, and we say, oh boy, it'll be for good, it'll be for good, it'll be for good. And it will be if you love God. There's a huge difference there. Don't you go tell someone that's going through it and they've denied God, they've pushed God, they've backslidden from God, God is not in their life, and it ticks me off. It's one of my pet peeves. When there's a school shooting or some horrible tragedy takes place and people say, where's God? Well, He's right where you sent Him when you kicked Him out of the school. Do not blame God and say, well, I thought all things were supposed to work together for good, and that God-hating crowd with no love there, no, it might not work for good. But in the lives of God's people that love Him, there is no condition you will experience that God can't get something wonderful from. Don't miss that. I have to think that Mary and Joseph, you know, they say relationships now, husbands and wives. I think that the message of the gospel and the Christian life and a way a husband and wife honor each other in Christ is the greatest relationship in all of history as a picture of Christ and His church, okay? And if you're not enjoying, if you're married and you're not enjoying your marriage, there's something drastically wrong with that. Because a Christ-centered marriage is awesome. Now, it doesn't mean there's no problems, because everybody, we live in a sinful world, selfishness, different things. But I'm telling you, if you're on guard and you put Christ first, you can't help but love your wife, guys. If you're on guard and you put Christ first, ladies, you can't help but love your husband. And as you're looking out for each other, honoring one another, respecting one another, caring for one another, I'm telling you, you can't beat the arrangement, the model that Christ has made for marriage in the year 2024 going into 2025. We highly recommend it. But on the other hand, if that's not the picture, and selfishness and all of those things going on, man, it can be horrible. It can be horrible. I'm saying all that to say this. I don't know what Joseph and Mary's relationship was like. They say back then, you know, it was patriarchal and the women were kind of, I don't know. But I will tell you this. I got an idea that Joseph was probably somewhat disappointed on how things were going with his pregnant wife. I get an idea he wasn't thrilled to put her on a mule and go or for the distance that they had to go to Bethlehem so a census could be taken so they could make sure and pay their taxes. Aren't you excited when April 15th comes around? Aren't you just glad when you write that big check to the government? So, you know, one thing about the government is they spend it so well. You know, they're so careful with your money. So obviously, you know, there are some things that haven't changed for thousands of years, and taxes is one of them, okay? I've got an idea that Joseph wasn't crazy about going there and doing that. I've got an idea as they get to the inn and there's no room and his pregnant wife, wouldn't you think that someone, seriously, isn't there someone that would give up their room for a pregnant woman? Really? Where are the men? It's possible because of this deep, pathetic way men and women were looked at, it's possible men weren't willing to give up their room. They didn't know that's just a woman. I don't know. But it disgusts me that no one would give up their room. I think Joseph's wondering, isn't there someone here that recognizes the plight that we are in? I get an idea that he may have been wringing his hands thinking, God, what are you doing? Have you ever asked God that? I have. God, what are you doing? And God's up there watching all of this. And let me tell you something. He doesn't enjoy seeing us struggle. But he understands the need that we have to struggle so that we can learn some things, so that he can work out his plan in a sinful world. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, there was no struggle. The struggles came from mankind's choices. Our struggles still come from mankind's choices. And as Joseph is wringing his hands and Mary is going into labor and they've got no place but an old barn, a stable, a manger, and he's thinking, God, what are you doing? God's saying, I am preparing a way. I am going to show the world that no matter who you are, anyone can come to Jesus Christ. If he had been born in a manger in the inn, the shepherds couldn't even get an invitation, because if they came down there and they saw those old stinky low-life shepherds, they'd have said, you're not coming in here, pal, looking like that. They wouldn't have been able to come. There is no one. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is no one that has ever come to Christ that he said, no, I don't think so. I didn't die for you. Anyone. Location, location, location. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Let me tell you something. I don't want to scare you. I don't want you to dread it. I have found that the dread of something is much worse than the actual event, but there will be things in 2025 that you probably dread, but I'm telling you, you can make it. God is with you, and he will do incredible things with your life and your story if you just love him and put him first. His name is Wonderful. The miracle manger, or the miracle manger miracle, but he had to be born where he was, or the story would not have turned out like it did. Had he been born into luxury, he would not have been born to save all from their sins. And thirdly, the story of the birth of Christ teaches us three things in life. Number one, how to think. You ever wonder, how am I supposed to think about this? How am I supposed to look at this? I'm going to give you these things very quickly. And as a Christian, going into 2025, I want your thought process to be on a biblical model. Remember, Romans tells us that there's a renewing of the mind that takes place. Is there anybody that has known Christ for 5 years or longer that thinks the same exact way they did before they came to Christ? Anybody in the room? Of course not. It's not possible. Christ changes us inside and out, and we have a whole new way of thinking. Number one, he teaches us how to think. Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And well, listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and your thoughts than my thoughts. You know, newsflash, we don't think like God does. And if, you know, guys, you think it's hard to figure out your wife? Huh. Try figuring out God, ladies. We can't. We can't. That's why we're told to walk by faith and not by sight. You're looking at a baby born in the manger and you're thinking, this can't be good. This can't be good. Well, it was. It was very good. That's how God works. So number one, he teaches you how to think. Number two, he teaches you how to learn. Romans 8:28, God's teaching you that in the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's going to be good. Now, I know that you and I, if I walked up to you just as you had totaled your car and you walked away from it and you were uninjured, that's good, but it's bad. And I'm thinking, I walk up to you, and as you've got that brand new vehicle wrapped around a tree, we're just pretending here. I think, wow, this worked out well. How well accepted will that message be as you just are furious at some guy that could be so thoughtless, so careless, so unfeeling, not recognizing your loss? Well, I'll tell you something. I would never do that. In fact is, I don't even think that at the time. But based on God's word, He's teaching us to look at things and think about things and learn from things that we never would have before. How to think, how to learn, and lastly, how to work. You know that my favorite verse is John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. John 8:29 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, I do always those things that please him. You know, one of the things that we do in Christ, once you've accepted him as your Savior, the work that you do today wouldn't resemble anything about the work that you would do before. For instance, you've cleaned the kitchen before you were saved, and you cleaned the kitchen after you're saved. But that kitchen, you recognize now, this isn't my kitchen, this is God's kitchen. I'm cleaning God's kitchen. I'm working for the Lord. Before, you may have listened to some music in the background, that, what do they call it, head-banging stuff. I don't know. I'm not a musician. I don't know the stuff. But, you know, I got an idea that your music choices have changed since you've come to Christ. If they haven't, they ought to. I got an idea that if you were... it's funny, are soap operas still on anymore? The soaps, do they still exist? They do? How do you know that, Ginger? If, you know. Yeah, okay, fine. So, you know, it's just, a little side note here, I got time very quickly. I was on a service call one time with another Christian man that just wanted to go on a ride along with me in the van, wanted to see what I did. He was a great guy. And so we pull up to this trailer and sitting outside is some empty kegs of beer, which, and so the guy riding with me says, is this guy from your church? And I says, no, it's just an account with the oil company. He says, well, I didn't think so with all those kegs. I didn't know what a keg was. I had no idea. So I looked at him and I says, how did you know those were kegs? I said, you know. So anyway, it reminds me, how do you know the soaps are still on? But anyway, it could be before Christ you used to have those things going on in the background while you're cleaning the kitchen. You wouldn't do that now. It changes everything. Everything you do, the work you do, the motions you go through, I'm telling you, it should be radically different than it was before you came to Christ. Because let me tell you something. When Christ saved you, he saved you to change you, not to continue to make you happy in the life that you are currently living in. That is not it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And if you're not changed, you're not saved. It's that simple. But I know one thing. When you work for God Almighty, it is the most rewarding thing you can do. You'll say, Stan, I don't know. You know, what's the work that I'm supposed to do? What is it the Lord wants me to do? Well, you've heard Wendell talk about it, and I couldn't agree more. Number one, find out what God hates and stay away from it. Number two, find out what God loves and do it. If you do those things, he's going to be pretty pleased. Jesus, I come. His name is wonderful.